Bokatov, welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in the fourth Shiur, Nasechet Ketubot. We are in Daf Hey Amud Aleph, we are right in the middle of the Amud. We're going to go further into our investigation of this Takana of our Mishnah, that a Betula is married on Wednesday and an Almana on Thursday. When exactly on Wednesday? That's our question. Yibayalu. So let me say Parvi, if we develop Parvi, if she married on Wednesday and the chuppah itself, and her first bia is on Wednesday, and we're not concerned that perhaps over the short amount of time between Wednesday late afternoon and Wednesday night until Thursday morning, the husband will cool off. In other words, what we're concerned about, we're going to see this next week in greater detail. What we're concerned about is that the husband will indeed find that the girl is not a betula, and that is cause for concern that perhaps she had a relationship with somebody else after the kiddushin, and we want them to come to the Beit Din, but over the course of this nearly 24 hours, he will cool down. And so for the first approach is to say that we're not concerned he's going to cool down, and we know that he'll come if indeed he finds things to be untoward. Perhaps the wedding is on Wednesday, but the bia is on Wednesday night. And Chazal established it that way because they were concerned about him cooling off, so they wanted that first bia to be as close to the sitting of the Beit Din as possible. Tashma, let's see. The time of our copper. Betulah is married on Wednesday, and the bia is on Wednesday night, meaning Thursday. Why? Because in the 6 days of Bereshit, as you see in the first pasuk on the page, on day number five, Thursday, in other words, God blessed the dagim. It's the first thing that God blessed. God blessed the fish that they should pour vu and fill the seas. Good. So, Almanani said, Bachamishi Bevela Bashishi, and Almana is married on Thursday, and the B is Thursday night, meaning Shishi. Because after all, on Friday, Adam was created, and Hashem said, pour vu, a parallel bracha, but a more powerful bracha, fill the land, conquer it, have dominion, etc. Now, Tam Mishum Bracha, so you see that the motivation for having the bia be on Thursday night, and in the case of Betula, which is our concern, on Wednesday night, is because of the Bracha of Mishum Ikure Daita Lo Chashir. But we see that we're not concerned about Ikure Daita. Now, just for a minute to investigate that, is that really a proof? Because after all, you would say that Bar Kappara is telling us a parallel piece, that if Betula is married on Wednesday, and the bia is Wednesday night, because there's a time of Bracha of Thursday, and an almana is married on Thursday, and the bia is Thursday night, a time of a greater bracha, and of course, that will solve the problem of ikurei daita, because in matter of fact, the bia will be on Wednesday night, the bia of the betula. But it really is a good proof. Why? Because if the reason for having the bia be at that time, or if there was at all a consideration of we're concerned that the guy's going to cool off, then they would have stated that. Because, of course, with an issue of a bracha, a person could say, yeah, I'm a vato on the bracha. Bracha is a nice thing, but it's not convenient. But if we say that it's really a takana that must be fulfilled this way because we're concerned about a legal issue, then it's going to carry far more weight. The fact that Bar Kappara omitted that and went directly to the issue of bracha indicates that that's the only consideration. Good. So now, Ihachi, Almana Amiti Ba'al B'Chamishi. So if Yom Chamishi is the day of bracha, let the Almana have her bia then. So the answer is bracha l'adam adifalei. Obviously, if you can have the day that the man was given a bracha, that's more powerful than dagim. There's another reason why the almana should have her wedding be at the end of Thursday, meaning that during the time of Thursday and the Thursday night will be the bia rishona. Why? Because of a different takana of shaktu. We had a first takana of shaktu chachamim for betulot, that a man should work for 3 days to prepare for a very nice wedding, and therefore she can't get married on a Sunday, but she can get married on a Wednesday. Here we have another shaktu. Why do we have the wedding be at the end of Thursday? Because if you say the wedding is early on Thursday, and the bia is during the day, the next day he'll get up and he'll go to work. So they wanted to make ensure that an almana will also have her husband stay with her for 3 days and he laid her. And so how does that work? If the wedding is on Thursday day going into the night, So Thursday, he's busy with the wedding. And Thursday night is the Simcha of the Biyar Rishona, and therefore Friday he's not going to go to work. Shabbat, of course, he doesn't go to work. Yet on Sunday he goes to work. At least you have 3 days. Chamishim Shabbat, Biyar Shabbat, Shabbat. Ma'ikam and Bracha Shatu. So now, what is the difference between saying that the reason for the Biyar Rishona being Thursday night is Bracha, or Shakdu, is as follows. Ikam Benayu Adam Batel. First of all, if there's a guy who's wealthy and he's not working. So the bracha component is still a consideration, but shakdu is not a problem because he's not going to be going to work anyways. Inami yotov shachal yoper of Shabbat. This, by the way, does not flip it. This is a pair. This is another reason, another circumstance where bracha would be an issue and shakdu wouldn't, and that's when Yom Tov falls on a Friday. All right, when Yom Tov is on a Friday, so in any case, he's not going to go to work on Friday. So the bia could be on Thursday, but because of the bracha, we want the bia to be on Thursday night. Now, Darash Bar Kapra, this is a related Agadah, related only insofar as Bar Kapra is the author of it. This is, of course, somewhat of a surprising statement, but the actions of the tzaddikim are greater than God's creation of heaven and earth. Why the Yidu Masei Shemayim V'aretz Ketiv? What is the description? The anthropomorphic description of creation. I formed it with my hand and with my, we'll see that Yadi is the left hand, my right hand created the heavens. Tzaddikim, as far as the things that tzaddikim created, that the mikdash, which is something tzaddikim build, is something that Hashem's hands, both hands, were involved with. So there's a particular Rechi of Bavel who came back, responded to them and said, wait a second, in Tilim Tzadihei, it says that God created the dry land with his hands. Same thing, his hands. So the answer is Yadokti. Even though it's read Yadav, there's a Yad missing. So it would be read Yado, his hand, meaning single hand. So just like all of creation was with a single hand, and yet the Masei Tzadikim are something that God confirms, as it were, with both his hands. So here it's also a single hand. I vaktiv yatsaru, but it says yadav yatsaru, they created, it's plural, they, hands, plural hands. Yitzchak yatsu etzbrotav, means what did they create? What created? Not the hands, because it's a single hand, but rather the fingers. Kedichtiv, kir esha macha maseh etzbrotach, yorecho chochavim asher kananta, that beautiful parak of Tehillim that parenthetically was read by Neil Armstrong when he was in space, chapter 8. That when the man looks and says, I see your heavens, that which your fingers created. So we see that God's fingers, homiletically, are associated with creation. Good. So now, Meitavei, Hashemayim v'sabim k'vod Allah, say Yadav. Magid Arakia, that which God created with his hands, plural. Tells all the story of creation, or tells the story of the glory of God. Hachikamah, what does it mean? Ma'asei Yadav shal tzaddikim mi'magid. So, homiletically, we say, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that God formed the heavens with his hands, in the plural, because in this midrashic thread, he only formed it with one hand. It rather means the actions of the hands of the tzaddikim, who tells them? The answer is, harakia, the heavens do, because when it rains, that shows that tzaddikim are doing their thing. My name is Latar. Drash Bar Kapra. So now we have another drash of Bar Kapra. Mighty Bar Kapra, of course, is the Talmud of Rebbe. Mighty Chtiv, Yatei Al Azenecha, the Pasuk in Parsha Kitetze, that tells us that we have to have a place outside of the camp for defecation, and have to have a shovel there to dig and a way to cover it up. So, Al Tikrei Azeinecha Ela Al Oznecha. Don't read to have a peg outside of the camp, but rather over your ears. Shemishma Adam Davar Sheino Hagun, that if a man hears something that is inappropriate, Yaniach Etz Pa'obo Oznav, stick your fingers in your ears so you don't hear it. That's sort of your peg, if you will. He said, interestingly, why are man's fingers shaped like pegs? My time, oh, what do you mean my time? Elam Yishim de Machalkan is because, otherwise, what do you have, a webbed hand? Each finger has its own purpose. Machal of Achal in the military of it, each has its own purpose. Tamar Mar, Zum Zeret, Zu Kmitza, right? Zeret is the pinky, Kmitza is the ring finger, Zu Amaz is the middle finger, that's plus is the forefinger, Zu Godel is the thumb. Take a look around, you'll see what halachically, why each one is significant. The question is, why are they shaped, tapered like pegs? Because if you hear something inappropriate, you can stick your fingers in your ears, and you won't hear it anymore. Why is the ear hard and the lobe is soft? There's another piece of advice. If you hear something that's inappropriate, you can bend the lobe into the ear, and it will cover it up. Good. Now, person should be careful not to listen to nonsense, because the ears are the first things, evidently in Judgment Day, to be burned up. And so therefore you want your ears to be kadosh, not to listen to nonsense. Okay, that's the end of that passage. And now we go to the next piece, which is a complex, in that it is multi-forking arguments about the issue of bi'ah rishona b'shabbat. So just to be clear, we're talking here about a bi'ah with a bitulah, who is going to be bleeding as a result. And the question is whether that first bi'ah is something that's mutar to do on Shabbat. Important to note, and a machloket, which is riding underneath this entire sugya, which is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We've encountered it many, many times, but it's been a while since we were in Moed. Machloket as to whether davar she'eino mitkaven mutar or asur. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if you do an action, which your intent in doing the action is a perfectly legitimate intent on Shabbat, however, the action involves doing something which may lead to a violation, it's asur. Rabbi Shimon says it's not asur. And the classic example is, I have a bench on my front yard, I want to drag it to the other side of the front yard. Rabbi Shimon says, I can drag it. It's possible that I'm going to make a furrow, which is a prohibition of plowing. But that's not my intent, and it is not, and it's critical to note, it is not inevitable that it's going to make a furrow. We refer to it as a psik resh, and therefore it's mutar. Yehuda says it's asur. All right, so let's keep that in mind. Now, Ibayalu, the question was asked, Mahu livov etchila b'shabbat? Are you allowed to have the first bi'ah on Shabbat? So the first question we're going to ask is really a physiological question, which we won't necessarily ever be able to determine, meaning it's not empirically solvable, but it's perhaps a conceptual question about the nature of the relationship between dam betulim, the blood that comes out when the first bi'ah happens, and the rest of the body. Dam ifka pakir o chaburi machbar. Is the dam sort of in its own place, joined, massed together, or michbar chaburi machbar, is it within the flesh and it's attached to the body in that way? Now, let's see why that's going to make a difference. Let's start with Intim Salomar Dam Mifkapaki. Let's follow the first approach, which is the dam is sitting somewhere waiting to come out. And again, no extent of empirical proof is going to prove or disprove this approach. It's a conceptual approach to how we understand what Dam Betulin is. Intim Salomar Dam Mifkapaki. Ladamu Tsarich Vashari. So then, what is it you're doing? You're simply making an opening to allow the dam to come out. Now remember, petach, make a petach, is a tolgah of the malacha of boneh b'shabbat. So now, if you say the dam utzarich, then what you're really trying to accomplish is to get the blood out, then it's mutar. You're allowed to make a petach, perhaps, if you're doing it not in order to build a petach, but to get something out. Perhaps your goal here is to create a petach, in which case tasur. Even if you want to take the first approach, it says it's really the dam you want, and the petach happens by itself. Do we accept Rabbi Shimon's opinion that davar she'eino mitkaven, meaning you're not intending a petach, the petach happens, but your intent is to get the blood out, which is mutar. And do we rule like Rabbi Shimon? And if you want to argue that we do accept Rabbi Yehuda, which by the way is then going to put us in a position of saying Asur, then there's another component. And this is a critical notion in all of Hilchot Shabbat. And that is all the malachot that are prohibited in the form of tikkun, meaning anything that you're doing that is adjusting it and bettering them. Classic example is bishul. You put food together and you put it on the fire in a pot with water, or you put it in an oven as baking. You're doing it to take these raw ingredients and make them better. That's tikkun. But tikkun is the underlying premise of any malacha, is that you're bettering it. So now, question is that if your goal here is the dam, but we say that halacha is Kerb Yehuda, which would then say that we don't care that your goal is the dam. Nonetheless, how do we understand the petach? Do we say that that you are considered to be a mekalkel relative to the petach, because the petach really is a kilkul, you're damaging the body, or metakenu etzal petach, or on the other end you could say that the petach is now an improvement to the body because that makes future biah easier. So that's one way to go. Alright? And every direction you're going to go here, you're going to end up either going to the Isur Lahater, and again, as I said, it's multi-forking, and I laid it out on the page. Ika Da'amri, version number two. The Inter Tzalam Adam Chaburi Machbar, we follow the second of the times of the fork in the first question. How do we understand the Dam? If Kapokir Chaburi Machbar, what if it's Chaburi Machbar? What if the Dam really is soaked into the uterine walls, or soaked into the walls of the body? Right, the vaginal canal in this case. And the dam utzarich v'asur, do we say that the fellow needs the dam? In which case it's asur, because now the problem is not petach, the problem is chabura, is making a wound, which may be a subset of shchita, which is an av malacha, of being shochet. And here, the whole point of shchita is you want to get the dam out, so the same thing here, you want to get the dam out. Or maybe what he's doing is for his own pleasure. Whatever happens, happens, but that's not what his intent is. The infant shalom alanat atzvot tzarich without melekat. If you want to say that it's his own pleasure, and halacha Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Shimon. Same question. Do we rule like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon? We may not care what his intent is. Kitzel halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And even if we say we don't care what his intent is, there's another consideration. Mekalkel b'chabur, metaken b'chaburu. Back to the same line of thinking, which is he considered to be a metaken relative to the chabura? If we accept Rabbi Shimon, none of this matters because if that's not what he's intending, the varshin would come in. But if we accept that halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, then we don't care about his intent. In which case, we have to look at something else. How do we define objectively the act of Bir Rishona relative to the Chabura? Is this Chabura an improvement, as it were, or is it really a damage? All right? And now there's an interesting flip. So it's on Makalka B'Chabura. Let's say he's Makalka. The Makalka, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and look at Rashi, and you'll see that Rabbi Yehuda rules the Makalka that you're not chayiv. Or halacha Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that if you're mekalkel, then you are chayiv. So we have a whole lot of ways to go. And the answer, of course, to all of this is, well, I don't know, because I don't know which of the forks to follow, which of the times of the fork to follow in any one of these particular questions, but these are all open possibilities. Now, one of the possibilities that won't be open is how do we rule? Because how do we rule is a general question, it's a global question. How do we rule in the question of Davar Shinu Mitkaven? We'll see a little bit of that coming up. So now let's see what the rulings are. Vei Rav Amri, Rav Shaul Yishmuel Asar. In Rav's base matters, they said, Rav says it's mutar to have the first bia on Shabbat. Shmuel and Hardea said it's asur. Then Hardea Amri, in Hardea, what did they say? Rav Asar Shmuel Shari. They had the opposite tradition. Nachman Yitzchak, the Siman Echad, the easy way to remember it is Eilu Mekim Atzman, Eilu Mekim Atzman. Everybody is leaning for themselves, meaning attributes the lenient position to their own scholar. Now, for Rav Shari, but since when could Rav possibly say that it's Mutar? We have a traditional name of Rav. Ha-Mesuchraya Dinazaita. This is like a plug that you put into a barrel. Asur Laduka B'Yomotavi. You're not allowed to squeeze it in tightly on Yom Tov. Why? Because the concern is that you will inadvertently be squeezing some of the wine that's in the material out. And schita is asur. However, remember, that's not at all what you intend. So it sounds like Rav says, halacha kabiyuda, that I don't care about your intent. So how could he possibly say that you're allowed to have the first biyah on Shabbat? So the answer is, bahu afilu b'shimun modeh. The answer is, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that's asur. Why? Famous line, and I mentioned it in my introduction to the sugya, Rabbi Shimon agrees that if something is absolutely inevitable, then your intent no longer matters. Meaning, I have a bench, I'm going to drag it across the lawn. But because of the nature of the lawn, the nature of the bench, there is no way. It's impossible. And the classic example is, of course, the chicken's head. It's impossible for me to schlep this bench across the lawn and not make a furrow. In that case, Rabbi Shimon would agree it's asur. That's the case of the psik reshet. Literally means if you can't cut a chicken's head off and not kill it. And you can't say, well, my intention is to get the head. The fact that it dies is not my intent. Yes, but that's inevitable and built into the thing. But that's not a statistical issue, saying 100% of the times it happens. It has to be conceptually inevitable as part of the process. Good. So there, that doesn't prove anything. In that case, even Rabbi Shimon would agree. But we're not done with Rav. I'm Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rav said, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chanan Rami Amar Shmuel, Halach Rabbi Shimon. And famously, Rav Shmuel is a famous Malchokim between Rav Shmuel, to be Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon, and Shabbat, and Rav Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. This, by the way, is one of the few areas in Isuri, not in Mamoni, in Isuri, that we rule like Shmuel against Rav. We do rule like Shmuel, we do rule like Rabbi Shimon. We have a tradition which doesn't have the tradings, but rather Rav Amar Halach Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Halach Rabbi Shimon. Good. The Olam Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sfirulei. The answer is, you're right, Rav does hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So why would he possibly say it's Mutar at first be on Shabbat? So Halach Leish Dam Adam Mifkad Pakid, according to the first tine of the fork, with it you said Dam Mifkad Pakid, Makalkel Hu Etzel HaPetach. So you would have to follow the line of reasoning that says that you're Makalkel relative to the Petach. Again, we don't care about your intent, but Maisa, you're a Makalkel. According to the second direction that you took, the second line of reasoning, that dam is built into the body, is it's in the body, then you're considered makalko b'chabura. Good. So now, is this true? Meitu Rav Chista, is it true that you're really allowed to have the first, that you're not, is it possible that you're not allowed to have the first b'yad Shabbat? Watch this. Tinoket shalagia zman al lirot. Let's say a girl was before the age of puberty, and she got married, and he said, Shammai says, you give her the first 4 nights, any dam that's seen that first 4 nights is considered dam betulim, and you can continue having bia, it's not any chash that is dam nida. Bethel says, could be longer, you have to wait until the wound heals, and then any dam that comes is going to be dam nida. Now that's not critical for us, but this is. He gives when Ali wrote when he said, let's say she already did have puberty and she got married. The first night, any dam is dam betulim. Afterwards, it's dam nida. Listen to what Beit Hillel says. He gives her until Motzei Shabbat. That means 4 nights. Now, count. If a girl gets married on Wednesday night, so it's Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. So Friday night's one of the nights. My love, Dilo Ba'al Matzi Boyo, if it was Shabbat, doesn't that mean that if he didn't have his first bia on Wednesday night, he could do it on Thursday night. If not Thursday night, he could do it on Friday night. That's our critical issue. And if not Friday night, then on Shabbat. No, rather low, the Varmi Shabbat. No, it means Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday night. Well, that doesn't work. You said 4 nights, don't want to say Shabbat. That means there's got to be 4 nights of availability. Rava says this means he only had Bia, meaning you had Bia Wednesday night. And then you could continue having Bia, according to this, Thursday night and Friday night. And we'll say Shabbat, and all of that dam is considered to be dam betulim. Ik Shabbat, my kamash polan. So then, what are you teaching me? Why are you saying arbalot ad motzei Shabbat, which is there obviously to tell me you can do it on Shabbat? Kamash polan shalim nivah b'Shabbat. It's telling you that even though you've already had bia once, you might not be sure that you can have bia on Shabbat. Kedishmua adam shmua pirtzad chukam utali kares b'Shabbat. If you have a very tight entryway. Like it was a hole in the fence. You're allowed to go through it on Shabbat, even though Bisha Meshur Tzorot, even though you leave little shards behind you, that's not considered to be making a petach. And the same thing here is that even if you argue that you can't have the first bia on Shabbat, still this may be coming to teach you that you could have a second bia on Shabbat, even though it's still going to continue to make the petach larger. Now, Meitav Rabbi Yosef, he challenged as follows. Chatan Paturi Kriyat Shema Laila Rishon, famous Mishnah in the beginning of Brachot, the second parak, a chatan is exempt from Kriyat Shema on the first night, ad Motzei Shabbat, and Lasa Maaseh. If he has not yet consummated, he's Patur until Motzei Shabbat. My love, the Torah, the Bar Lenival, isn't it because, so why is he Patur on Friday night? Isn't it because he's Tarud, because he hasn't yet had Bia, and he's concerned what it's going to be like? So, which means that Friday night is the night he could have Bia. I'm like, Bar, you love the Torah, the low boil. No, he's not. He's upset because he's about to have Bia. He's upset because he hasn't yet consummated, he's worried. Friday night, maybe he's not allowed to consummate, but he's still worried about it. So Amalei Rava, Mishum Tir Patur, but are you going to exempt somebody from Kriyat Shema because they're just upset about something? So if that's the case, even if man is suffering about a financial loss, in this case that his ship is sunk at sea, he should be Patur. And that's not the case. If you think that's the case, an Avel is obligated to do all the mitzvot, which means including Kriyat Shema, even though he's very upset about the fact that his relative died. Unless you chayim in Kriyat Shema. So then why is a chatan patur? A chatan is patur because he's about to engage in a mitzvah that night, a biat mitzvah, because we're talking about somebody who has not yet consummated, and he is going to consummate that night, and that is a tir dad mitzvah. A regular one, not. And by the way, just to finish this, a chatan is chayav in all the mitzvot chutz min atfilin. Why? Shnei rabbanan pe'er. That is something we dealt with in Moed Katan, just briefly, is that many of the halachot we learn about avilut, we learn from what God told Yechezkel not to do. I'm going to take your wife from you. And nonetheless, I don't want you to behave like a mourner. And he told them all the things to avoid doing, which is from when there we learn what we're supposed to do. One of the things he told them to avoid doing is to keep his pe'er, his glory on him, which you understand to be tefillin. And therefore, that means an avil is not allowed to wear tefillin. So you have to argue that the Mishnah there allows for Bia Rishon on Shabbat, and that's why Friday night, if the guy didn't consummate Wednesday or Thursday night, he's still patur from Kriyat Shema, because he's still worried about what he's going to do that night. The answer is this whole thing is machloket tanaim. Tani chada im lo asa maaseh b'rishon. If you did not consummate on the first night, patur av b'sheni, exempt from Kriyat Shema on the second night, b'sheni patur av b'shlishi, the second night, which is Thursday night, you patur on the third, which is Friday night. And the other Tana says, you're patur the first two nights, by the third night you're not patur. Now the reason may be that you're clearly a fairly cold fish and you're not that all that upset about it. So what does Abaye do with that? Abaye, hatam nami b'tir to plig. He says, no, their machloket is not about whether you can have bia on Shabbat. Everybody agrees you can have that first bia on Shabbat. Their machloket is simply about how do we understand tirda. Perhaps by the third night, we already see that you're a cool cucumber, and therefore you're not that bothered by it, therefore you could say Kriyat Shema. Good. So now, Mahani Tanoi, Kehani Tanoi. These Tanoim are like these Tanoim, the Tanya HaKoneh, Stab Tula, Leivob, Betchila, B'Shabbat, HaChachamim Matirin. Very simply, according to Rav, who says the Machloket Tanaim, as to whether you can have the first be on Shabbat, and therefore as to whether a Chatan is Patur, if you didn't yet consummate on Friday night, follow these Tanaim, who says you can't have the first be on Shabbat, and Chachamim say you can. And who are Chachamim? An Chachamim? Amar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Rabbi Shimon Kamein, Mutar. Good. So now, Amar Rabbi, Baham Mor Rabbi Shimon Sikresh, Amar Mut. But how could Rabbi, and this is a question why that kicks back to the previous Amut. Why would Rabbi Shimon be the authority to pin the opinion on that says that you can have the first be on Shabbat? After all, we said Rabbi Shimon agrees that a Sikresh, it doesn't matter what your intent is. So Rabbi Shimon becomes irrelevant, meaning to note Rabbi Shimon is supposed to be viewed as an irrelevancy, because having the first bia is inevitably going to bring out dam, and therefore your kamanah should not matter. Not like those bavlim who don't know how to have a finesse in that first relation so that they kind of go in sideways in some sort of way so that it doesn't bring blood. There are some people who really know how to do that. And therefore, it's not inevitable that the first bia is going to bring blood. And therefore, it's not psikresha. And therefore, it really does come down to Machloket Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. So, you can't Tarad Lama. So, if that's the case, why is this person so upset? So, the answer is L'shein Baki. For most people who are not such experts, so they have a tirda. Yomru Baki Mutar Sheino Baki Asur. So, now you're going to tell me that the guy who is an expert can have the first be on Shabbat, and the guy who's not an expert cannot? So, the answer is, interesting answer is, Rob Bikin, and most people are Bikin, and therefore, that's who that guy's the day. So he turned around to Abaye and he said, Elamiata Shushpinin Lama. So if that's the case, why do we have the escorts who are standing outside of the marital room to make sure that everything is done properly and nobody cheats each other? Mapa Lama, and why do they have the mapa that we'll get to later on in the parak that they put there to demonstrate there really was done between? So right, Amalei Hatam Shama Yerevyove. There it's not because you're right. It's possible for someone to have bia and not bring any dam, and that doesn't prove she was not a betulah. But the reason you have the mapa there is because maybe he will be boel and find her, that she was a betulah, and then he'll take the mapa and he'll throw it away somehow, and then claim that she wasn't, et cetera, and terrible things will happen, and therefore we have people to make sure that he doesn't try to cheat her. But indeed, it's possible for him to have the first bia and not draw blood, of course. Some later bia will. If she's from a normal family, we will discuss that issue also later on in the parak. So everyone should have a wonderful day. We will continue with Hashem from this point and discuss a little bit more of the issue of Bia Rishon of Shabbat in the next podcast.